Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Hi friends, my name is Reverend John Reynolds, and I want to welcome you to worship at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. We are a church that is striving to help people know God, love God, and serve God. If this is your first Sunday worshiping with us, we want to thank you for being here. We're grateful for your presence, and we're so glad that you decided to make this your spiritual home. If this has been your spiritual home for a really long time, we're grateful for your presence as well. We want to take a moment to invite you to fill out a connection card. We hope that you are handed one on the way into the building. And if you are worshiping with us online, we hope that you'll take a moment and fill out a digital connection card to let us know that you are with us in worship. As we gather for worship today, for those of you who are in the sanctuary who are watching this video, please know that we are holding you all in prayer, and I wish that I could be there with you in worship this morning. Once again, our family is in quarantine. Our daughter was exposed to COVID at school, and as a result of which, I am bringing this video sermon to you. Pastor Lindsay is down at our Whitmore Lake campus, and she is helping Eric Harp celebrate his last Sunday with us, and we certainly give thanks for his ministry and work amongst us. We hope to be back next week in the pulpit in person in both of our locations. As we continue to worship this morning, I want to invite you to fill out a prayer card, whether online or in person. The yellow prayer cards are in the pew back in front of you. We have a group at our church that prays over those concerns every single week, and we hope that you'll take a moment to fill that out. And with that, I encourage you to join us as we worship God together this day.
Good morning. Welcome this morning on a cold, a little bit snowy day, but it's going to be a beautiful one. So My name is Kelly Myers, and I'm your liturgist this morning, and I'd like to ask you to join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask you to be with us in worship today and to guide us as you did the disciples. Help us to be humble servants in your name, bringing the good news of Jesus' saving grace alive through our actions. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Be seated. This morning's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 44 through 45. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. The word of God for the people of God.
Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to help carry the baggage of other people. Amen. So for those of you who have been joining us for these last couple of weeks, you know that we have been focusing on this experience of baggage, right? The baggage that we all hold on to, the baggage that we carry, the baggage that weighs us down, that gives us anxiety, that create struggles for our lives. And we've talked about how we might be able to mitigate some of the baggage that we carry, that we might be able to spread it around, that we might be able to give it to other people, that we might be able to co-carry it with other folks. And that's what this week's sermon is all about. And to start the message, I want to share with you a story, and it's an amazing story, about something that happened in 2015 in East London. If you can imagine the scene, you know London is known for perhaps the London Bridge or Big Ben, or perhaps you imagine in London red phone booths. I don't know if many of them are still there, but another thing that London is known for and is these double-decker buses, right? And some of us imagine that we're, you know, having a bad day, but I'm going to tell you a story about a guy who had a particular bad day. He was biking through East London on some sort of roundabout in a heavily, densely packed area. There were vehicles moving all throughout all the different lanes of this particular area, and he happened not to see one of those famous London double-decker buses transferring over into a lane that he was in, and this man was struck by one of London's double-decker buses. Now, if that's not a bad enough day, in addition to that, the bus rolled up on his leg, and then all of a sudden, the driver who was operating the double-decker bus realized what had happened, stopped the bus, went into some sort of panic shock, and wasn't able to move the bus one way or another. He just went into the shock in disbelief of what he had done, and he could barely even move. Well, it just so happened that there were other folks in the area who observed this guy on the bicycle making his way through London and saw the entire scene unfold, heard him scream when he was struck by the bus, and were bothered enough to respond in the midst of that moment. Folks were eating lunches and going about their daily lives, not necessarily aware that an emergency was taking place right next to them, but some folks initially ran out into the roundabout and immediately started trying to help. Well, they realized that if they were to move the bus too much one way or another, it might cause additional trauma to his leg. And so they decided the best thing that they could do was to alleviate the pressure of this double-decker bus from this man by lifting up the bus. Now, you talk about an enormous amount of weight. I mean, cars are heavy enough, but these double-decker buses must weigh multiple tons. And so the first person comes over and screams, he needs help. The man's trapped. I need help. And initially, a couple of other people come, and they try to move the bus again. And then a huge group of people end up coming in, and they try to lift the bus again, all of their might. People are shouting, one, two, three, lift. And this entire group of people are trying to lift the weight to alleviate the pressure off this man's leg. Well, finally, they get enough people pulling on the bus that they're able to lift it off the ground. But because of the shocks on the bus, it continues to have the weight down on top of the man, even though they were actually lifting up the frame of the bus. And by this time, some people realize that there are still passengers on the bus. So somebody yells, open the doors, and they open the doors, and all of these people get off the bus. And finally, together, all of the individuals who are standing there lift the bus up and pull the guy out from underneath the double-decker bus in London. Now, I know most of us have not had the experience of being hit or run over by a car or even a double-decker bus. I pray that that hasn't been your experience. But some of us feel in our lives like we've been struck by a bus. We have the experience, the weight, the burden of feeling like literally there is the entire weight of a London double-decker bus on top of our bodies and we are unable to move. Do you know what that feeling is like? When it feels like the entire world is on your shoulders and you're so weighed down that you can barely move and you feel so contained that all of your freedom and capacity to just breathe fully is constricted and you feel the weight of the world bearing down on top of your body. And I imagine that that's probably how that gentleman felt as he was laying there helplessly in the middle of a roundabout in East London in 2015. But thank God, there was a group of people who cared enough about him to come over and do something absolutely extraordinary and miraculous. The entire small part of East London was bothered enough to see a person in peril and to run over there and to do what little part they might be able to do individually and collectively to try to rescue this man from the weight of this bus. We obviously know there's wonderful stories in Scripture about some folks who aren't bothered by somebody else's peril. And you think about the story of the Good Samaritan, where some folks walk right on by an individual in peril. And some of us have a tendency to do that. We're too busy. We're too governed by whatever is next on the calendar. We've got too many things on our own plate. We're so focused with our horse blinders about the next thing that we have to get to, the next thing we have to go to, that we fail to see that there are folks in our midst that are literally being run over by double-decker buses. And yeah, we don't have time for them. There are a bunch of stories like this, like the one that I share with you. In fact, one situation happened in Michigan where a 14-year-old boy and his grandfather were working on a car, and all of a sudden the jacks that were underneath the vehicle gave out, and his grandfather was crushed underneath his car for a moment, and this 14-year-old boy, in a moment of superhuman strength, was able to lift the vehicle off of his grandfather, and his grandfather was able to get to safety. Perhaps you've heard urban legends about moms seeing a child trapped underneath a car, and in a moment of superhuman strength, they get down and they lift the entire vehicle off of their child. These are extraordinary stories, and stories about what the body is capable of doing in a moment of incredible adrenaline when we see somebody who's struggling and somebody who's suffering. But there are other stories too. I've heard a story about a situation in China where a child was left by a railroad track. And there's video of this incident, but hundreds of people walked past this screaming baby and nobody was bothered enough to pause to ask why there was a screaming baby on the side of the road next to a railroad track. I think some days we are all guilty of this when we see somebody off at the side of the road, when we see somebody who's experiencing some sort of trauma, and we simply say, it's not my problem, it's not my issue to solve, and we go right on by, despite the fact that right next to us, right in the same roundabout, right in our own neighborhood, in our own workplace, in our own places in life, there are people who are literally being crushed under the weight of a double-decker bus. And I think God is calling us to pause in our busy schedules and to be the kind of person that has their lunch interrupted enough to go out and lift the buses that are crushing people in the world around us. There's a story about a friend of mine in Liberia. When I went over to Liberia the first time, we went to go visit an orphanage there, and there are about 70 kids inside this particular orphanage, many of whom had lost parents to the Ebola crisis that took place several years ago in West Africa. And these 70 children, you know, they have all kinds of concerns and issues and needs, and yet it's a United Methodist orphanage, and a United Methodist ordained pastor is the director of this particular orphanage. And I remember when I was talking to him at one point, and we were sharing about our different ministry experiences in life, and one of the things that came up was, and I think I've told many of you, that Liberia is a country where a lot of folks live with extremely few resources. And at this particular time, the director of the Judith Craig Children's Orphanage in Liberia and his entire staff, who's tasked with the responsibility of caring for 70 children who have lost their parents and are struggling in all kinds of ways. And at that particular moment, he shared with me that he and his staff had not received a paycheck in the last 9 months. For a moment, I took a look at him and I was like, this is a friend who literally is right now being run over by a double-decker bus. And I remember looking at him and thinking, you know, a lot of us here in the United States would start complaining if our paycheck was a day late. And a lot of us here in the United States probably would quit our job if after a couple of days there was no sign of a paycheck coming. And I remember looking at my friend and asking him, what kind of incredible strength and resilience, what's driving you to continue doing what you're doing? How are you able to endure this situation? And I'll never forget what Reverend Sia said to me in that moment. Something that really continues to inspire me today. Those of us who are in the ministry oftentimes talk about being called, and what Reverend Sia said to me when I asked him how he was surviving without getting paid for 9 months, with the responsibility of caring for an entire staff and with the responsibility of keeping 70 kids fed in the orphanage, he said, that's why they call it a calling, right? And it forced me to take a moment and realize how much weight was on a friend of mine in Liberia. In that moment, it felt like he was underneath the weight of a double-decker bus. And when he shared that with me, it felt like I had a responsibility to continue to help him bear that weight. And all of us, when we hear about stories of tragedy, when we hear about stories of travesty, when we hear about stories of people being affected, when we hear about stories of people's lives being endangered or hurt, we all have a responsibility, I think, to stop what we're doing to help the community lift the weight off that individual's body, off their spirit, off their shoulders. And that's where I start to think about the passage that we read today. What we're ultimately called to do and be as a church, I think Jesus says very clearly in Matthew 25, the very things that you do for the folks in our community who are struggling are the things that we do for Jesus Christ. When we feed people who are hungry, when we give water to those who are thirsty, when we give clothing to those who are naked, when we visit the sick and imprisoned, those are the moments that we are showing up in our own way to help lift the weight of a double-decker bus off of our friends. And to me, that's one of the things that our Christian faith compels us to do and to be about. So I encourage you, even if you don't think you can, even if you don't think you have the strength or the means or the ability, to allow your eyes to be open, your ears to hear, your heart that is open, to realize those moments in your life when you see somebody who is experiencing the full brunt of the weight of the world, and to allow yourself to take a moment to be bothered, to be one of the people who comes to lift that weight off of their shoulders. Because I believe when you do that, you're not only serving the person whose weight is crushing them, but according to Matthew 25, you're also doing that very thing for Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful for the moments in my life when I felt like my baggage was so heavy that I could not carry it alone. That there are people in my life that have walked up and been bothered enough to come help lift the bus off of me. And I pray that we can be the kind of church that doesn't walk right on by past the emergency, that we together with our collective strength might be the kind of people that when we see tragedy in our midst, we are compelled and encouraged to be about the community effort to lift that bus off of people's bodies. May it be so in our community and in our world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The text of this morning's anthem is called Good News. is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 16 through 19. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And he went to the synagogue, as his custom was on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and there was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Sent me to proclaim release to the captives.
Release, release, release to the captives. Release, release, release.
And recovery of sight to the blind.
Sight, sight, sight to the blind.
Morning. My name is Carol Kapuska, and I'm here for our time of prayer so that we can pray together as I lead us. First, I want to draw your attention toward our three prayer quilts. They are for Daniel Graves, who's a friend of Mary Kushner, Amanda Slade, and George Batchelor. So make sure you say some special prayers for their quilts so that as we send them to them, they will be filled with our light and surround them in wonderful wishes on our part. So, as Pastor John stated, sometimes our baggage is out there in the open. You can realize it because you see the person get hit by the bus, or you can see them recovering from that bus hit. But I want to kind of share a story of the times when we don't see the baggage that people had, or we don't realize the extent of their baggage, and encourage us to pray for those people as well. So, as some of you may know, I'm a school psychologist. I work in the schools. And in my office at the elementary school, there's myself, the social worker, and speech therapist, and we all have a little area. And sometimes we have kids that come down there that need breaks because they're struggling, or they just need to have some time to unwind. And so I'm going to share a story about a six-year-old friend of mine. This six-year-old little boy, I've seen come down and take breaks near our office throughout the whole year. And just recently, we were going to have a meeting about him to talk about his needs. And so I looked in his school file, and I realized the kind of baggage that this six-year-old has in his life. And it shocked me. Because he's only six. And he just came to our school at the beginning of last year. But prior to that, the reason why he came to us is because he had to leave his mom, because she was suffering under some pretty severe drug abuse, and so she lost her kids. So he lost his mom. Well, he had three siblings, and they all went to their different parents. They went to their dads, or they went to foster family, and he went to his dad's. So he lost all of his siblings, of which he's the youngest. Also, he was transitioning to a dad who he'd never been with, new dad to him, and who'd never been a parent. So this is somebody who he's been sprung on, in a sense. And fortunately, his dad had his mom, so the six-year-old's grandma, that he could rely on to help. So he had a new support system. But then grandma died. And so he had another loss. And then he moved to a school system in the midst of COVID, where we were virtual at some time. So you know how hard it is during that time. So he was down in our office lately. And after I had read about all this, and I realized, oh my gosh, how much baggage this kid has. And he was struggling a little bit. We had to put a little structure on him, so he was a little crotchety about that. But then he went to leave, and as he left, he said, goodbye. And we all yelled goodbye, because we love this kid. And he said, have a great day. And I thought, oh my goodness. If that was the only thing I knew about him, I would not realize the amount of baggage that this kid suffers under. So I would encourage you, as we enter into prayer, that we pray for those people that we see their baggage, but also that we have no clue what's going on behind that have a great day that they share with us. Let's pray. Praise goes to you, Lord, each and every day for the strength you bring us, the support you provide, and the understanding you afford us that in turn we can afford to others as well. We all hold our own baggage that we might have carried for a very long time and from a very young age, or baggage that is new with the handle barely broken in. But Lord, help us not compare ourselves to others around us, not to compare baggage for the purpose of wallowing in the misery of the past or losing hope in the future. Help us to not use people's baggage against them, but to be in community with those fellow baggage handlers, that we all come from a similar place and can speak from that similarity with compassion and not criticism. We have to thank you for looking beyond our faults and for loving us unconditionally. Forgive us when we fail to love others in the same way. Give us eyes to see the needs of the difficult people in our life, to consider perhaps what baggage they are carrying, what perspective they may be coming from that we do not know about or have not even considered, and show us how to meet those needs in a way that pleases you. Please help us move beyond the hurdles that trip us up: finances, addictions, negative self-talk, mental health concerns, physical health concerns, job stress, and give us the strength and wisdom to look up and see the hope we run toward in Christ. Help us every single morning to find faith in the midst of chaos. This morning we ask forgiveness of all the negative and harmful words we have spoken about ourselves to ourselves. We can be so critical of ourselves and forget that you created us in your image. Transform our thoughts and let us understand how marvelously you made us. Change our habits so we use our tongue to speak hope and favor upon our life. And now let's spend a few minutes saying our own personal prayers. Now let's join our voices together to say that prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This is a little unexpected. I was supposed to be commissioned by John at this point. He's obviously not here. And so I'm here to talk to you basically about, before they take the collection, of Rio Bravo. We have several people in this church who have done it. I'm on my way to Rio Bravo. And things have really changed a lot down there, some for the good, most of it for the good. What we do, we build a casita. A casita is nothing more than a one-stall garage in which sometimes five people live in it. You got a cement block floor, cement blocks to the roof, tin roof over top, two windows, two doors. We build the doors, as Topo can testify. That's why I showed up, because he showed up with the door like this on it. He screwed up. And so I said, I can do that too. So what we do is make the outside look pretty good. Imagine how hot that building gets with a tin roof when it's 100 degrees outdoors. But this is luxury to these people. They have changed things around down there for the better, for the people getting these casitas. Now they have rules how to get one. First of all, they got to own the property. It's not unusual that mama and daddy, they live right next door on the same property, sometimes that far apart. And buildings are built. Secondly, they got to go to church. They got to go to church for at least a month. Then they're put on a list. So we go down there, and all of a sudden, they're not getting a house, but somebody else is. Why not me? Oh, you're down the line a ways. You got to keep going to church. So we're not just throwing things out, as a type of thing. It's their way of Habitat for Humanity things. They do help us. I drive down. I take stuff down. The reason I drive down is because anything over a two-hour flight, I don't like. It feels like I'm in a naughty seat and don't know what I did wrong. Obviously, I've been there a few times in my life. So I take things down. From the Tawa Church, which I've been at, we're hauling down 190 pounds of rice and beans. Now, it's not going to go all to the house. It goes to other areas. There's a Methodist school down there, in the middle of nowhere. There is no other than houses, nothing around for about 5 miles. No stores, no gas stations, no nothing. But a railroad track's about 20 yards in front of them. If those kids didn't go to have that school, they wouldn't go. Everybody down there pays to go to school. The state says you must go to school. They don't go to school because they can't pay to go. The state don't want to pay. With that in mind, this school charges too, 1 peso a week, if they got it. That's 17 cents a week. The pay down there for the Mexican people averages $120 to $130 a month. Imagine that times five people trying to feed them. The casita has no electric in it, no water, you can't drink it anyway. Actually no nothing other than just a building, like a garage. It has a loft in it, This is 3 feet high for people to sleep on. But yeah, the electric's out there on a pole. You want it, you pay for it, you need the extension cord to get it in for their 25-watt bulb and their one burner electric stove, if they have that. The water is free. That's out there. Like I said, you can't drink it. You got to buy it to do your cooking, everything, except maybe do the wash. I've seen wash machines outside running, and the water runs out on the ground. No sewage, outhouses. Sometimes they're community. Not unusual for a group like us to come down. We go buy them a toilet seat for that outhouse. So that's the kind of life that they have, but they like it. And what basically from this church is going to be supported. I made a comment one time, about several years ago, standing inside the casita. I said, "This thing looks like a basement, cement block wall." I said, "Your house don't look like this, so why don't we just stucco it?" So now the stucco, by the way, has got asbestos in it. Don't get me wrong, we have done schools with this asbestos. This church had helped do it, a school for a handicap in Reynosa. We did an orphanage a few years back from a school that they don't want. I mean, the whole area don't have a school in Reynosa. It's now an orphanage. The church took over from Ohio to do it. And we stuccoed that thing inside and redo it, and that's going good. That's where some of this food is going. You have here with Harry Davis and other people set up a dental clinic. It costs us now money for our doctors to go down there. So they don't go down there. The Mexicans have hired one. That's where some of the money goes. You say, why not just send money down there? A minister once said down there, says, "No, don't send us money. It'll be misused." He says, that's why I drive the car I drive. If you send money, I'll drive a different car. It's a temptation. We need my chew down here. So forth. So that's basically what's going to happen to some of the things. John was supposed to do that. I'll find out that about later what John had in plan for me.
Bob, is you are going, and Gary Tobel is going, right, from our church?
No, he's got one leg enough.
So he's not going?
No, he's not
okay,
fully healed.
So you're going. And are there people from Highland going?
Highland got quite a few people this time, a lot of new people, four new people.
Okay.
They also come from Houghton Lake. I got stuff from Houghton Lake. I got from Home Depot. I got about eight hammers. Eight of everything, really. Gloves, everything. I got a lot of stuff from Houghton Lake.
Yeah, so we just want to, what I really would like to do is for everybody just to pray over Bob and the whole team is going, and for their safety on this trip, and for what they will do will be meaningful to the people there. When my son Leo and I went there, that was the biggest thing that stuck with me was they said, you know, it just means, it gives these people hope that you are here, because they look at you and think, you've got it all, you know, in the United States, and we have nothing, and that we would take our time to come there and just do some little thing for them. So the physical presence of these people in these people's lives gives them hope. So let's just pray over Bob and his trip. Lord, we just ask you to be with Bob every step of the way, to bless his trip, to bless his encounters with others along the way, and to bless the whole group who will be going there, and to bless everything that they do there, and to let their encounters give hope to people who are suffering. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Respond to God's goodness in our world, and one of them is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. And I just want to share with you that your offering and your gifts continue to be an incredible blessing to so many folks in our community and also to this church. And so we invite you to give generously out of the abundance that God has given to each and every one of you, so that we can continue to do the great work that God has called us to do in this community and all around the world. Would the ushers please come forward and assist us in this morning offering? And if you're worshiping with us online, we encourage you to take a moment to visit our website, to go to the give page, and to make a contribution to our church so that our ministries can be blessed and flourish.
Let us pray. Lord of all, we thank and praise you with the offerings we bring today. Help us to use them in missions and ministry to reach out beyond ourselves to those in need of you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hi, friends. Thank you so much for joining us for worship this week. We hope that this service has been a blessing for you. As we conclude our time together, I just want to let you know that we do have a couple of retreats for youth that are coming up in the month of February. We encourage you to visit our website to learn more or to sign up to go on that. You can also call the church office and let us know that you're interested in participating. We're looking for students for confirmation, so if you know a student that's interested in taking those courses and being a part of that work here at our church, we encourage you to call the office and sign up or visit our website for that as well. In addition to these wonderful things going on at the church, we're so grateful for all the socks that have been collected, and we're grateful the way in which this congregation responds every single time a need arises. We feel incredibly fortunate and blessed to be a blessing to other people in our community. As we conclude this time together, I pray that we will go out into the world with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.